The Martyrdom of Polycarp, February 156 AD. The Church of God sojourning at Smyrna, to the Church of God sojourning at Philomelium, and to all the sojournings of the Holy Church in every place. Mercy and peace and love of God the Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ be multiplied. We write to you, brethren, the account of the martyrs and of the blessed Polycarp, who by his martyrdom set his seal as it were upon the persecution and put an end to it. For nearly all the preceding events came to pass in order that to us the Lord might once again give an example of the martyrdom which resembles the gospel story. For he waited that he might be betrayed, just as the Lord, that we too may become imitators of him, regarding not only what concerns ourselves, but also what concerns our neighbors. For it is the part of true and constant love that a man should wish not only himself, but also all the brethren to be saved. Now blessed and noble are all the martyrdoms which have taken place in accordance with the will of God, for we are bound to be very reverent and to ascribe the power over all things to God. And who could fail to admire their nobility and endurance and love for their master? Some were so torn by the scourges that the structure of their flesh to the inner veins and arteries was exposed to view. But they endured it, so that even the bystanders were moved to pity and lamentation. Some reached such a pitch of noble endurance that not one of them let cry or groan escape him, showing to us all that in the hours of their torture Christ's martyrs were absent from the flesh, or rather, that standing by their side, their Lord conversed with them. So, giving heed to the grace of Christ, they despised the torments of the world by a single hour purchasing eternal life. Cold to them was the fire of the cruel tormentors, for they kept before their eyes their escape from the fire that is everlasting and is never quenched. While with the eyes of the heart, they looked up at the good things reserved for them that have endured, which neither ear hath heard, nor eye seen, neither have entered into the heart of man. In like manner, they that were condemned to the beast underwent awful punishments, being stretched on sharp shells and punished with various other forms of torture, that if it were possible, by means of protracted punishment, the tyrant might induce them to deny Christ, for the devil devised many wiles against them. But thanks be to God, for he did not prevail against any. For the right noble Germanicus, by means of his endurance, turned their cowardice into courage. With signal distinction did he fight against the beasts, while the proconsul, wishing to persuade him, was urging him to have compassion on his youth, in his eagerness to be released the sooner from their unrighteous and lawless mode of life, he used force to the wild beast and pulled it onto himself. Now it was on this that all the multitude, amazed at the noble conduct of the God-loving and God-fearing race of the Christians, shouted out, Away with the atheist. Search for Polycarp. One of them, Quintus by name, a Phrygian, lately arrived from Phrygia. When he saw the beast, he was afraid. It was he who had forced both himself and certain others to come forward of their own accord. After very earnest entreaty, he had been persuaded by the proconsul to take the oath and offer incense. Therefore, brethren, we do not commend those who surrender themselves, for not such is the teaching of the gospel. Now the most admirable Polycarp, so soon as he heard the news, showed no dismay, but wished to remain in town. The majority, however, prevailed on him to withdraw, and withdraw he did, to a little farm not far from the city. There he spent his time with a few companions, occupied night and day in nothing but prayer for all men, and for the churches throughout the world, as indeed was his constant habit. And while praying, he fell into a trance 3 days before his apprehension, and he saw his pillow being burned by fire, and he turned and said to his companions, I must needs be burned alive. As his pursuers were persistent, he shifted his quarters to another farm. Immediately the pursuers arrived, that is, at the first hiding place, and on failing to find him, they seized two slave boys. One of these confessed under torture, for indeed it was impossible for Polycarp to evade pursuit, since they that betrayed him were of his own household. And the chief constable, who, as it befell, bore the same name as Herod, and he made haste to bring Polycarp into the stadium that he might be made a partner of Christ. Accordingly, having the lad with them on Friday, about supper time there went out constables and mounted men, with their usual equipment, hurrying as against a thief. Late in the day, they came up in a body and found Polycarp in a cottage, lying in the upper room. He could have escaped thence to another place, but he refused, saying, God's will be done. So, on hearing of their arrival, he came down and conversed with them. While they wondered at his age and his constancy, and at there being so much haste about the arrest of such an old man. Upon this, he gave orders for something to be served for them to eat and drink at that hour, and as much as they wanted. He asked them to give him an hour, that he might pray undisturbed. On their granting him this, he stood up and prayed, being so full of the grace of God that for the space of 2 hours he could not hold his peace, and the hearers were astonished, and many were sorry that they had come after such a venerable old man. After remembering all, both small and great, high and low, who had ever come his way, and all the holy church throughout the world, at last he brought his prayer to an end. The time had come for departure. They set him on an ass and brought him into the city, it being a high Sabbath day. He was met by the chief constable Herod and Nicetes, his father, who shifted him onto their carriage and tried to persuade him as they sat by his side, urging, "Why? What harm is there in saying Caesar is Lord and sacrificing and the rest of it and so saving yourself?" At first he made no reply, but as they were persistent, he said, "I do not intend to do what you advise me." On their failing to persuade him, they began to use terrible language and pushed him out so hastily that as he was getting down from the carriage, he scraped his shin. But without turning around, as though he had suffered no hurt, he walked on with speed and was taken to the stadium, where there was so great a din that it was impossible for anyone to be heard. As Polycarp was entering the stadium, there came a voice to him from heaven, "Be strong, Polycarp, and play the man." The speaker, indeed, no one saw, but the voice was heard by those of our friends who were present. Then he was brought forward, and great was the din as they heard that Polycarp was arrested. So he was brought before the proconsul, who asked him if he were Polycarp, and he said, "Yes." And the proconsul tried to persuade him to deny his faith, urging, "Have respect to your old age," and the rest of it according to the customary form. "Swear by the genius of Caesar, change your mind, say away with the atheist." Then Polycarp looked with a stern countenance on the multitude of lawless heathen gathered in the stadium, waved his hands at them, and looked up to heaven with a groan, and said, "Away with the atheists." The proconsul continued insisting and saying, "Swear, and I release you. Curse Christ." And Polycarp said, 86 years have I served him, and he has done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my king who saved me?" The proconsul continued to persist and to say, "Swear by the genius of Caesar." Polycarp answered, "If you vainly imagine that I would swear by the genius of Caesar, as you say, pretending that you are ignorant who I am, hear plainly that I am a Christian." Then Polycarp said, "If you are willing to learn the doctrine of Christianity, appoint a day and listen." The proconsul said, "Persuade the people." Polycarp then said, "You indeed I should have deemed worthy of argument, for we have been taught to render to authorities and powers ordained by God honor as is meet, so long as it does not harm. But as for those, I do not think them worthy of my making my defense to them." The proconsul said, "I have wild beasts. If you will not change your mind, I will throw you to them." Then he said, "Bid them be brought. Change of mind from better to worse is not a change that we are allowed, but to change from wrong to right is good." Then again said the proconsul to him, "If you despise the beasts, unless you change your mind, I shall have you burnt." But Polycarp said, "You threaten the fire that burns for an hour, and after a little while is quenched. For you are ignorant of the fire of the judgment to come, and of everlasting punishment reserved for the ungodly. But why delay? Do what you wish. While speaking these words and many more, he was filled with courage and gladness. His face grew full of grace, so that not only did it not fall, agitated at all that was being said to him, but on the contrary, the proconsul was amazed and sent his own herald to make a proclamation in the middle of the stadium 3 times. Polycarp has confessed himself to be a Christian. No sooner was this proclaimed by the herald than the whole multitude, both of Gentiles and of Jews dwelling at Smyrna, with ungovernable rage and a loud voice began to yell, "This is the teacher of Asia, the father of the Christians, the destroyer of our gods, the man who teaches many not to worship or sacrifice." With these words, they kept up their shout and continued asking Philip the Asiarch to let loose a lion at Polycarp. But he said he could not, as he had closed the games. Thereupon, they thought good to yell with one accord that he should burn Polycarp alive, for the vision about his pillow must needs be fulfilled, that is, when he saw it burning while he was in prayer. And he turned around and said prophetically to the faithful who were with him, "I must needs be burnt alive." This then happened with great speed. The mob in a moment got together logs and faggots from the workshops and baths. The Jews, as usual, showed themselves specially zealous in the work. When the fire had been made ready, Polycarp took off all his upper garments and untied his girdle. He endeavored also to take off his shoes, though he had never been in the habit of doing this before. Every one of the faithful were eager to be the first to touch his bare body. Because of the goodness of his life, he had been treated with every honor, even before his head was white. Forthwith, then, all the gear adapted for the fire was put about him. They were on the point of fastening him with nails, but he said, "Let me be as I am. He that gives me power to abide the fire will grant me too, without your making me fast with nails to stay at the fire unflinchingly." So they did not nail him, but they bound him. He put his hands behind him and was bound like a goodly ram out of a great flock for an offering. A whole burnt offering made ready and acceptable to God. Then he looked up to heaven and said, "O Lord God Almighty, Father of thy beloved and blessed child Jesus Christ, through whom we have received our knowledge of thee, God of angels and powers of all creation, and of all the whole race of the righteous who live before thy face, I bless thee, and that thou hast deemed me worthy of this day and hour, that I might take a portion among the martyrs in the cup of Christ, to the resurrection of eternal life, both of soul and body, in the incorruption of the Holy Ghost. Among these, may I today be welcome before thy face as a rich and acceptable sacrifice, as thou didst prepare and manifest beforehand and didst fulfill, thou, the faithful and true God. For this cause, and for all things, I praise thee. I bless thee. I glorify thee. Through the everlasting and heavenly High Priest, Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son, through whom to thee, with him, and with the Holy Ghost, be glory, now and for the ages to come. Amen. When he had offered up his Amen and completed his prayer, those in charge kindled the fire. A great flame flashed out, and we to whom the sight was granted saw a marvel, and we moreover were preserved to the end, that we might tell to the rest what came to pass. The fire made the appearance of a vaulted roof, like a ship's sail filling out with the wind, and it walled about the body of the martyr in a ring. There was it in the midst, not like flesh burning, but like a loaf baking, or like gold and silver being refined in a furnace. Moreover, we caught a fragrance as of the breath of frankincense or some other precious spice. In the end, when the lawless mob had seen that his body could not be consumed by the fire, they commanded an executioner to go and stab him with a dagger. He did this, and there came out a dove, and so much blood that it put out the fire. And all the multitude marveled at the mighty difference between the unbelievers and the elect, of whom one was this man, the most admirable Polycarp, who in our times was an apostolic and prophetic teacher, bishop of the Holy Church in Smyrna, for every word which he uttered from his mouth was accomplished. But when the jealous and envious evil one, the adversary of the race of the righteous, saw both the majesty of his martyrdom and his blameless character from the beginning, and that he was crowned with the crown of incorruption and had carried off a prize which could not be gainsaid, he contrived that not even his poor body should be taken up by us, though many were desirous to do so and to come into communion with his flesh. So he prompted Nicetas, father of Herod, and brother of Alce, to entreat the magistrate not to grant his body, lest, as he said, we should forsake the crucified one and begin to worship this man. They said this through the prompting and persistence of the Jews, who even kept watch when we were about to try to take him out of the fire, ignorant that it will never at any time be possible for us to abandon Christ, who, blameless on the behalf of sinners, suffered for the salvation of them that are being saved throughout the whole world, and to worship another? For Christ as Son of God we adore, the martyrs as disciples and imitators of the Lord we reverence, as they deserve on account of their unsurpassable loyalty to their own King and Teacher. God grant us to be made sharers alike of their lot and of their discipleship. when the centurion saw the contentiousness caused by the Jews. He put Polycarp in the midst, and as their custom is, burned him. So we afterwards took up his bones, more valuable than precious stones, and finer than gold, and laid them where it was fitting. There the Lord will permit us, as shall be possible to us, to assemble ourselves together in joy and gladness, and to celebrate the birthday of his martyrdom, alike in memory of them that have fought before, and for the training and preparation of them that are to fight hereafter. Thus it befell the blessed Polycarp, who was martyred with them that came from Philadelphia, himself and 11 others, in Smyrna, and is himself alone held in all men's memory, so that even by the heathen he is everywhere spoken of as one who was not merely an illustrious teacher, but also a conspicuous martyr. His martyrdom all men are eager to copy, in that it came to pass according to the gospel of Christ. Through his patience, he overcame the unrighteous ruler, and thus received the crown of incorruption. Rejoicing with apostles and all just men, he glorifies our Almighty God and Father, and blesses our Lord Jesus Christ, Savior of our souls, and helmsman of our bodies, and shepherd of the Holy Church throughout the world. Polycarp was a Sabbath keeper. He had the peace that passes all understanding. If you would like to enter this rest and have this experience in your life, write to Creation Ministries, Post Office Box 284, Spring City, Tennessee, 37381-0284, or call the toll-free number 1-800-754-8021.